All right, so co-author on this paper is Dr. Mike Taves, our research entomologist located in Tifton, Georgia as well. And I just want to give you just a brief snapshot of what we're doing in terms of trying to understand and use risk for making decisions in terms of managing thrips. One thing to point out is what I'm illustrating with this particular bar chart is the actual number of or percentage of acres that have received a foliar thrip spray over, I guess that's the last 14 years. As you can see, in recent years we've tended to make more oversprays than we did prior to that time. Part of that is we were heavy Timic users back in the early 2000s, but again, we are tending to spray more acres with foliar insecticides in the last couple of years. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about risk and thrips risk and what kind of populations we expect to happen, and this is not a new idea in the state of Georgia. Several years ago, there was actually a tomato spotted wilt virus risk index for peanut production in our state. And tomato spotted wilt virus is transmitted by thrips, so trying to avoid thrips or lower the number of or be producing peanuts in an environment with fewer thrips could help manage the virus. But when you look at that risk index in terms of cultural practices, there are two that have a very significant impact on thrips. Number one is planting date. Number two is tillage practice. We don't have a lot of information on planting dates in the state of Georgia. We do hope to initiate some more intensive trials trying to better understand planting date, but I was able to find a few trials from relatively recent years. But what I'm illustrating here is the number of thrips per plant, per individual plant, at 2 weeks after planting. This was untreated cotton, and each of the 2 weeks after planting for a given planting date. And I believe, like for example, the red line, which was 2001, that first planting date was on April 10th. So at 2 weeks after planting, we had about 11 thrips per plant. But when you look at those charts, what you see is we typically experience our highest thrip populations when we plant in the April and the first half of May. As we get into the later part of May and definitely into June, our thrips numbers are reduced greatly. Now in Georgia, somewhere around 35-40% of our acres, some years a little more, some years a little less, are planted during this window when we expect to have high thrips populations. A lot of different studies in terms of how tillage practices affect thrips populations. I've listed several references there. The main point here is thrip populations are much lower where we have residue on the soil surface. The last 2 years in Georgia, one of our best thrips treatments I observed was a rolled rye where we had a very thick rye cover. Looked as good or better than many of our insecticide treatments. So tillage practice and planting date have a significant impact on what populations we expect to see in terms of thrips. Now, what I'm going to present today is just data I summarized from trials over the years. I had a graduate student a couple years ago just entered a bunch of thrips data. And what I did for the purposes of this discussion is I pulled trials which included two common treatments, a seed treatment that could have been imidacloprid or thiamethoxam, and also treatments where we had a foliar application of acephate or some other thrips insecticide at the one leaf in addition to the seed treatment. I assembled, I think I had 26 trials that had those common treatments. I looked at methods from those trials and was able to identify planting date as well as tillage practice, and I simply grouped those trials into two risk groups, either a high risk group or a low risk group, and I used planting date and tillage practice to group these. High-risk category was cotton planted prior to May 10th in a conventional tillage system. If it was a reduced tillage system or planted after May 10th, we put that in the low-risk group. Very simply, I just did a compared trial yields for each risk for the among these risk groups or between these risk groups, just using a simple paired t-test. Now, this is just a piano chart, just showing the yield response to using a seed treatment in these 26 different trials. And again, they were conducted anywhere in the last 14 years. Not many trials were planted in what I call a low-risk environment. Most of the time, these trials are being placed so we can tease apart efficacy of products. So we try to place them in environments where we expect to have a lot of thrips. But what I'm showing here is the yield response of one of our seed treatments versus nothing. And you see, we see a very consistent yield response. In almost every situation, yields were greater in the seed treatment versus where we did nothing. Now, on average, we saw about 120-pound yield response in the low-risk environment. Those individual trials are represented by the red bars. The blue bars, those represent yield responses in individual trials in the high-risk environment. And on average, we saw almost 280-pound response in a high-risk thrips environment. So based on just looking at the yield responses, it looks like our very simple risk group, or the way we differentiated these risk groups, has some merit. Also, just for fun, pulled thrips populations from those trials, and these are actual thrips per five plants at 3 weeks after planting. You can see, very few thrips in the low-risk environment, about 4 or 5x the number of thrips in the high-risk environment. So that makes sense. But the thing I'm most interested in is trying to help our growers and advise our growers when and if they need to supplement these seed treatments with a foliar spray. So this piano chart, what I am comparing is the response of a foliar spray of acephate on top of a seed treatment. Again, I've got the low-risk environments highlighted in red, the high-risk environments in blue. In the low-risk environment, the addition of orthene or acephate to a seed treatment, on average we saw a 13-pound yield response. That's not significant. Fairly even distribution of pluses and benefits and or increases and reductions to yield in the low-risk. That's what we expect because we have very few thrips. In the high-risk environment, though, you see we saw about a 95-pound yield response. And this is pretty significant to me that we see such a consistent yield response in these high-risk environments. Actually, if we just run these paired t-tests, looking at mean yields, the two bars on the left, the low-risk environment, not statistically different, again, only 13 pounds difference in yield. But in that high-risk environment where we had 19 different trials, the difference in yield is about 95 pounds, and a significant difference there. But with that, one of the things we're trying to encourage our growers to do is to manage thrips and give a lot more thought to thrips. And the Southeast entomologists are working with Dr. George Kennedy's lab, hopefully to have a little more powerful model to help us understand some of this risk. So hopefully in the next few years we can be a little more precise. But just in summary, we do try to encourage our growers to use a seed treatment at planting or some type of systemic at planting as a preventive treatment. We do know that we will need to supplement these seed treatments and preventive plant treatments during some years. And we are trying to, consider these risk factors, very simply plant and date and tillage. That can kind of give a grower a heads up of what to expect. And at least in the short term, this may be workable, but one of the problems is the majority of cotton that we overspray is what we plant early. When we need to be overspraying that cotton, we're planting the rest of our cotton. So it's very difficult on the farm. It's not a sustainable thing, but this can help growers plan to a degree. With that, I'm going to stop, and if there are any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them or comments. All right. Thank you, guys. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, well, I think our data would suggest that we need the seed treatment 90% of the time. Now, the addition of the foliar spray is not going to be there, so I disagree slightly. But when you have big responses to a seed treatment, additional control usually results in more response, is what we're saying. Well, ideally, we'd like to have a consultant walking those fields twice a week looking for immature thrips. But, yep. I don't know. The data's pretty clear to me. Yeah, perhaps. You know, I think that very simple risk group, though, when you can increase yield 16 out of 19 times based on planting date and tillage practice, it's pretty good odds. I'd play those odds. All right, thank you for the question. We're going to move on.